Warning, the following podcast contains views and thoughts that may not be suitable for younger audiences. Spoiler content will be included in this podcast, so if you do not want to be spoiled, you might want to wait until the podcast hits the archives. Accordingly, the thoughts and views of our hosts or callers do not reflect the views of the Missy AE podcast or any of the Whispers groups.
Thanks to you unmuted. You muted me?
No, I'm sorry. It was my bad. I had hit unmute on the switchboard when we were starting the music, and for some reason Blog Talk did not register it. So.
Oh, okay. All right, starting over. Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of the Missy AE Big Brother Whispers Big Brother podcast. We're doing our recap of the week and all of the happenings on the live feed. And I am Melissa, and I do have my co-host, Steve, who muted me.
Also,
I'm just kidding.
I know. I did not mean to mute you. You can blame
okay.
Blog Talk for that. But we also have Reggie joining us to start off the show tonight as well.
Hi, Reggie.
Hi, how are y'all?
I'm good, and you?
Well, I don't know how long I'll be here. I've got a bug or something. My manager had it and her husband had it. Now I feel like I'm nauseous and just bleh. But I took a nap.
Oh, no.
I'm gonna try to last as long as I can because oh my god, I didn't want to miss tonight. At all.
Okay, you know, you want to sit down, just relax, sit down, be comfortable, put your feet up.
They are, and I am. So, and I got my jammies on already. First time in forever, you know, I'm all comfy, but I took a nap. I could not miss tonight. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big one. It's crazy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's just so
yeah,
nuts.
It's definitely big when it comes to everything we have to discuss tonight. We of course have to talk about the rise and epic downfall of the king of this season in Hysum, and not to mention this will explain why if anybody hears me start to snore tonight, it's not because what Melissa is saying is boring, because it isn't. It's because of the damn near 14-hour pressure cooker competition that we got once again for the first time since
lovely?
Big Brother 6.
Huh?
I said, wasn't that lovely when I went to bed, I couldn't hang last night. And so then when I get up this morning, I immediately check, before I get out of bed, I check my phone and it's like still going on. I get to work, it's still going on. And I only work 3 hours a day, so it's not that hard. But I'm like,
uh-huh.
At work, I took my phone to the restroom to check, and that's when I found out Cameron won.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so, yeah.
That boy was not going nowhere. He was firmly planted.
I heard he made
a
deal with.
He did. He made a deal with America that she wouldn't be put up, or she wouldn't be the replacement mom. So, and then she let him have it.
The thing is, too, it was a huge surprise because I remember Melissa and I were talking in the live chat thread last night because we did not just the live eviction, but we did, of course, Reggie, you know, we did the live chat thread in there that also was covering the pressure cooker. And I remember you, Melissa, telling me that Cameron looked like he was on shaky legs.
That wasn't me. I didn't say that.
Was that Laura? or Jamie?
Maybe it might have been Laura, maybe. It might have been Laura or Jamie then.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it looked to me like he was doing really well. It was Red. Red says that he could have lasted 20 hours longer if he hadn't hurt his foot, his ankle. And we're like, yeah, right, considering how he kept sitting down and standing up, and he was not doing well.
Yeah, no, he was definitely struggling. Even before I went to bed at around 3 a.m. Eastern, he was still struggling. So I was kind of surprised, honestly, that he had made it to the 10-hour mark. With the amount of movement that he was doing, I believe, if I remember correctly, he was in a squatting position for God knows how long. It was him and Blue were in a squatting position, and at one point, people thought on the live that he was actually sitting, not squatting, which of course was against the rules.
Right. He was squatting pretty low there. Then I have to laugh because Ceree and Jared go out boom boom, okay? They go out boom boom, and then they're in the house going, we didn't do nothing. Our hands didn't even move, and they put our lights on. Blah blah blah, talking like they didn't let go. It was Big Brother's fault.
Of course it was.
Right. I'm like, yeah. They were feeling so comfortable. They were feeling so safe that they let go.
Well, Jared just wanted the case of beer.
And it was really, really funny because when the lights were off, the feeders could see the hamsters in there, and Izzy was bouncing all over the place, bebopping, just dancing, and boom, her hand finally comes off of the button. Oops. She gets into the house going, I'm so embarrassed. Oh, my God, I wasn't doing anything. Like, yeah, right. Okay.
Izzy had her hands in her face, or Izzy had her face in her hands for God knows how long. When the cameras came back on inside, it was, well, first off, it was hilarious just to see Izzy dancing, doing the, at one point, Izzy did the single ladies dance that Beyonce.
Oh my God!
Did in her music video.
Can you find that, Steve, and post it?
I'm gonna try to, but Izzy.
Oh my God!
Izzy was basically dancing a majority of the time that they were in the dark.
I heard that, but I couldn't. I wouldn't go back through and try to find all that. No, I couldn't.
Yeah, we can find.
And
we can probably find
angry.
The. We can
I'm
probably
very
find the
angry.
Flashback.
Okay.
We can probably find the flashback. You know, I had. This was 3 or 4 years ago. I was able to record a lot of stuff. And I think actually it was season 20. I was able to record a lot of stuff and post it, but they won't let me record nothing now.
Prune.
So I don't know. I don't know how these people are getting their recordings. So I wish I could.
Well, I'm really a little bit upset right now because my Jag is nominated.
Yeah, he and Blue are nominated.
I don't like Cameron no more at all.
But Jag and Blue are not his plan. He's got a backdoor plan.
Well, I didn't read all that. Talk to me.
So he told Jag and he told Blue, without coming right out and saying so, that if they were to win the veto, there would be a lot of other options, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when he was talking to Corey, he was talking Jared or Izzy. But I think they were leaning towards Izzy. Now, this is going to be a very big dilemma for Corey. Very big dilemma. Do I stay with Cameron and Red? Or do I stay with the for real and vote her ass out? Now, a lot of people find Izzy very, very annoying, including Jared. And he's actually told Ceree, I want her gone. I want her out of here. She annoys me. And she's like, I know, but, you know, we need her right now, blah, blah, blah. But I think if the opportunity arose to get her butt out, he will vote her out. He will.
The only thing about Izzy, if she's on the block and she gets voted out before she leaves, she's going to say, just so y'all know, Ceree and Jared are mom and son.
And that's the only reason why Jared would not vote for her.
Right.
If her mother
says, I don't know if she actually would, though. I don't know if Izzy would actually reveal that. Especially if
she may,
because
she might use it as a threat.
She doesn't want to ruin. Well, she might use it as a threat potentially, but I don't think she wants to ruin. If Jared, Ceree, and Felicia all vote to keep her, and she still ends up going, I don't think she wants to ruin Jared and Ceree's games by doing that.
True. That's true, but she might turn around and just say, just so you know, that if you guys even think about voting me out, I will tell everybody on the way out that you are his mother. I don't know. But go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say it is possible, but I'm not entirely sure that Izzy would actually do that. I think what Izzy might do is if she has an inkling at all that, I mean, she's pretty much paranoid as it is that she's going to go up on the block as a replacement nominee.
Yeah.
So I could potentially, if she does decide to reveal that, I could potentially see that happening to try and save her own ass before the veto is used, if the veto is used, depending on who wins it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's hard to tell. And then we have this new thing, this new thing called the power of invincibility that people are voting on right now to see who gets it. And basically what it is the person who wins, you know, America votes on it. The person who wins it has the ability to save one of the next two evictees. So they're going to probably put the person who's evicted this next Thursday into sequester. And then the following week, when that person is evicted, then the power of invincibility will come into play. And the person who has it will be able to choose who they want to come back in the house.
Well, Melissa, we do have somebody who was watching along with us last night, who is now joining the podcast. Nadine, welcome to the show.
Hi, Nadine.
Hey. Hi, Nadine.
Welcome
to our podcast.
Who just welcomed me? Who was that male voice?
Steve.
It's Steve.
Oh, hi, Steve. Never heard your voice
Hello.
Before.
Yeah, it's Steve Kent. It's Steve Kent.
Is that Melissa who just gave us the explanation about the invincibility thing?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. So I'm Melissa, and then we have Reggie.
Hi, Reggie.
How are you?
Nice. I'm okay. I'm still COVID-y, but I'm fine.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. She's got a mild case of the COVID.
I'm not dying.
That is starting back up, actually.
Just
is it? Oh, no. I probably should go get another vax, huh?
Yeah, well, I skipped my last one, being all cavalier, thinking, oh, yeah, I'm done.
Yeah.
No, it's starting back up. So.
Can I ask a question about the invincibility thing?
Yes.
Okay. Is your explanation speculation, or is that what you understand from explanation by the powers that be?
Well, Big Brother put it in, and they said that the person who wins the power of invincibility will have the ability to choose one of the next two evictees to come back
around. Right. Okay.
Yes.
I heard that meaning if the next evictee is somebody that the person with the power doesn't want to have evicted, they would just call it right away. And then it's gone.
Yeah, I'm not exactly. That's the iffy part about
right.
it. But they have 2 weeks, the next two evictions. Now, the question
right.
is
so
whether
it.
Or not they're going to tell the person who wins prior to the eviction this week, or if they are going to keep it under wraps until next week.
Oh, well, who knows, right? I would just assume that if the person gets the power, they would be told, you've got the power. You've got two weeks to use it. Use it or lose it.
Yeah.
Right. That's exactly
what
I'm thinking, Nadine. I'm thinking probably the way it's worded, it says it can be used at the next two live evictions. So I think that
right.
basically once the eviction takes place, I think then is when the power can be used. Like, say right now Jag and Blue are up on the block, and say,
hallelujah.
Say Matt wins the power, and
yeah.
Jag ends up being evicted. Matt can then stand up and proclaim that he is using the power of invincibility. Save Jag from being evicted, and then basically what it'll do is it'll reset the week.
Yeah, that's what I think.
I mean, that's what it sounds like to me, at least. I could be wrong. I could be looking at it wrong, but that's what it sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I'm
to
not.
Me.
Yeah,
basically,
I'm not 100% sure.
No,
it's their way of doing it. It's their way of doing it without having, because the last time they did the reset button was when they had coaches, which allowed
yeah.
coaches
oh,
to re-enter
Jesus.
The game or to enter the game. So,
well, I'd almost forgotten about him.
Yeah.
I mean, this is their way of basically doing it.
I think so. I think it's a one-off. You use it, and it's gone, or maybe not. Maybe Melissa's got the ticket, and they're going to overcomplicate it like they do so many other things.
Yeah, well, the way that Steve explained it, if they have that ability over the next two evictions, maybe they will be getting it, maybe say, like on Wednesday. Or they'll be told when they go in to vote or something.
So
I don't know.
Was one of those numbers the invincibility thing?
Pardon?
When they came out of the pressure cooker, they all got a number. So was the invisibility thing one of those numbers?
No. No. We, America, gets to choose who gets that.
Oh,
we
right.
can go
okay.
and we
yeah.
can go and vote. Yeah, it's a
oh, yeah.
it's a America's vote type thing.
You,
yeah,
America,
basically what
not
the numbers.
Me. Not me, Canada.
Well,
yeah, right.
Basically, what the numbers were was just like Big Brother 6, where every time somebody got out in Big Brother 6, they would then pick one of the random boxes.
Right,
that they
okay,
had
yeah.
in the pressure cooker with them,
yeah.
and then they would win a prize. But the difference is here, because it's in the scary verse, part of it was a punishment, which, I mean, to be perfectly honest, the punishments were not really punishments. I mean, there was nothing scary about that pressure cooker last night / this morning. So,
right.
Whatever Big Brother was attempting to do to try and throw the house guests off, it did not work.
Yeah. Well,
I'm
they put that big pit of they put a big pit of snakes in the center.
Oh, that would have done me in. I would have been out of there. I would have made it.
Yeah.
Door.
Well, they weren't going to release them. They weren't going to release them, but. And they were in a pretty tall thing. And the thing is those snakes, they were, like, sleeping the whole time. It was just like.
It must have been cold in there.
It was, apparently. They were lowering that temp in there. They were turning the air conditioning on. And they were all in there freezing their butts off. They
oh,
were
man.
So cold. And Mimi and America were smart enough to put jackets on. Blue, she was out there trying to look as sexy as she could.
So
not to mention during one of the times too, Izzy was imitating the air being brought into the room when the lights were off, and you could see her blowing through a tube using her hand. And immediately after each time, she would start laughing her ass off without making any noise for people to figure out that it was her. But it was. They said at one point that it felt like it was about 40 degrees.
Yeah,
that it was like 40 to 50 degrees in there.
Oh, we're talking Fahrenheit. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Miss Nadine, yes, they're going by metric. Well,
Celsius.
Is it okay to say where you're from?
Oh, yeah. Everybody knows I'm
from Canada. From Canada,
yeah.
And they go by the metric. Yeah.
Now, Nadine, if I remember correctly, didn't Big Brother Canada do their own version of the pressure cooker, and it only lasted about, like, 10 minutes?
Damned if I remember. I don't know.
I think it was Big Brother Canada 7 or something. Somebody mentioned last night on Twitter that their version of the pressure cooker only lasted like 10 minutes because nobody wanted to stay in there.
Well, maybe they were all outside in the damn cold.
Yeah, I don't know.
Everybody
was really mad because Cameron was already trying to strike deals, like, right off the bat.
Well,
and I remember there was a point, it was several hours in, and Cameron says, is this the part now where, you know, like, I'm not saying verbatim, but basically trying to strike a deal. In Canada, or America said maybe in 10 hours. Like, okay.
Who lasted till the end?
America and Cameron and Mimi.
Okay.
Mimi
well,
was
me.
The first
yeah.
of the three down, and then Cameron and America made a deal.
Good for them.
Yeah.
And everybody thought at one point it was going to be Mimi, though. Everybody thought at one point it was going to be Mimi because people were wondering if she was actually even still alive during the competition because she was literally standing. She was literally standing in the same place the entire competition, not even moving a muscle, like she was a statue or something.
Yeah, she was very stoic. And she, the minute that she started to move is when her hand came off. She got spooked by a fly or something like that, and her hand came off.
Poor girl.
Yeah.
That's too bad. Well, I'm kind of excited to see what happens with one of the middlemen in the seat of power.
Yeah. Cameron, okay. I'm sorry, but I do not like Cameron very much. And
I know some people have a creepville factor with him. I know.
Yes, he's very creepy. He's very stalkerish. He's like, for instance, I think he was madly in love with Riley, and he did not like the fact that she was so close to Jag and Blue and Matt. He kind of wanted her to himself. So he said that he was going to go to the other side, and he was going to get into the other side, and then he was going to bring Riley over. Right?
Right.
And everything was going to be okay. I'm going to save you. I'm going to be your hero. And all of this kind of stuff. And he ended up blowing everything to kingdom come. There's that.
I don't mind.
So then when Riley was evicted, he was telling some of the other house guests, I know everybody thinks that Matt's going to have it rough, but I'm just absolutely devastated, and was trying to go on and on. Like, he was the one that was hurt the most by that, et cetera, et cetera. And then went on to say, but I talked to Riley, and we're going to get together after the show. And I'm like, you're in your freaking dream.
Hard to know, isn't it?
I think he's got this thing in his head of what kind of dream he's got going. Like, she's going to go, and she'll wait for me. And when I get out of the show, then we're going to live happily ever after. I don't think so.
Well, I think she's way too smart for falling for somebody after 1 week on a television program. Like, I think she's too smart.
Well, I think that the vibe that I got from Riley is that she is pretty naive. I mean, she's smart. She really is. But I think that she's kind of naive. She's a little bit too trusting. Do you know what I mean?
Maybe. I'm grateful that I didn't get that much of a chance to know her. I mean, she was there gone so quickly that I couldn't begin to say that I know that much about her.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I thought she was all right, but what really got me was the way that she took Matt under her wing. And she just made sure that he knew everything that was going on in the house, answer any of his questions, making sure that he understood everything. And that's why he loved her so much. He did not want her to go, and he was devastated when she left, because that was like
his lifeline.
His lifeline. That's how he knew things. And so as he was telling people about why he missed Riley, or why he wanted her in there, and why he liked her so much, and they were like, well, now America takes time to talk to him. Izzy takes some time to talk to him. Cameron and Red take time to talk to him, except that He said it's very, very hard for him to read their lips because of their beards.
Yeah.
Mhm. So.
Poor Matt. That's tough.
Mhm. But yeah, that's
the
reason why I wanted Riley to stay for that.
By the way, Tim, I do see you in the chat room. So, as always, feel free to leave any comments that you may have in the chat room, unless you're going to join us on the call. And
okay.
So, Tim literally just brought up now that it's quite frankly, I don't think anybody thought that we would see an endurance competition that long in this current era of Big Brother, considering
yeah.
how weak-minded some of the current era house guests are. But, you know, we used to always talk about how nobody would ever, you know, nobody in the current era of Big Brother would ever be able to last in a pressure cooker competition like Big Brother 6. And they came within 1 minute of tying the record last night / this morning. 1 minute.
Yep.
Well, the women did. And one guy. But, yeah, the women are tougher, I think, now than they were. And the men aren't.
And it was kind of surprising, honestly, because, not really surprising that Jared and Ceree were the first ones to fall off, were the first ones to call it quits, because, quite frankly, Jared wanted the booze. And, just look at the two of them. At the time, they were probably considered to be the safest in the house, regardless of who won HOH. So it's like, it'll be interesting to see when we see Sunday's show, did they deliberately throw this competition or did something actually happen? And as Ceree claims that she never took her hand off of the buzzer, and the buzzer ended up lighting up, or basically how they knew when somebody was eliminated was that a light would shine behind them. And apparently that happened to both Jared and Ceree, like literally almost at exactly the same time. And obviously, as it was mentioned last night, with each elimination came a prize or a punishment. Ceree got the six-pack, which she gave to Jared, and then Jared got the quote-unquote punishment of snakes being revealed, even though they were just in a tiny-ass little containment place. It wasn't really something that would, like, scare you. Basically. So, and there were other punishments and prizes too. Izzy got the concert, which basically made annoying noises and flashing lights go off at times during the remainder of the competition. Bowie herself got an actual pressure cooker, like an actual appliance to use. Matt got...
That's funny.
Matt got
That's
dead...
Funny.
Oh, yeah. It was... I get why Big Brother did that because of the pun. You know, if you're in a pressure cooker competition, one of the prizes has to be an actual pressure cooker. But Matt got... I guess they were supposed to be flies, but they were dead because they had been in a cool area, I guess, which killed them, apparently. Red
That's
won
horrible.
Himself a home theater and a year of Paramount Plus. Blue
Worse than the fly.
Blue got $1,000. What was that?
I think winning all that Paramount, that's worse than the flies.
Well, he got a home theater, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're subjected to CBS.
Yeah.
No, he literally said that he got a home theater.
Well, that's better.
Yeah. He literally said
that's
he got a home theater and also a year of Paramount Plus.
Right.
Yeah.
Blue got $1,000. Corey got nothing. And
have not.
Mimi got a, what, he did get something?
He did. He got a punishment. Have not. And he's a have not, and he can take two house guests of his choice to be have nots with him. But Izzy and Bowie both volunteered to do it.
Oh, okay. You know what? That's right. I completely forgot that he was a have not.
For the first time in a very long, long time, they are allowed to do peanut butter and jelly this week.
That's right.
They're going back to peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, that's because I think that's because of the flashback, because of the fact that this competition originally took place during Brother Six. I think that's part of the. When was Flop introduced?
Peanut butter and jelly?
I can't remember. No, Slop.
Yeah, when was Slop introduced? You know, I remember Janie, was it? Janie in 14, I know, was making Slop stuff. Or was it in season 7 that she was making Slop stuff? All right, Tim, when was Slop introduced?
Google tells me 2006.
So that would have been Big Brother 8.
That would have been Janie season.
Wait a minute. Well, that's just the first. Wait, hang on. What season did it start? It started season 7.
Oh,
yeah.
So All Stars.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I distinctly remember her making Chris. Of some sort with the slop. So I knew that it was one of the seasons she was in.
Yeah, it says that it was first introduced in All Stars as punishment for house guests who lost the weekly food competition. It would then be used for the same purpose the next 3 seasons, but starting with Big Brother 11, Slop was then merged with the have-not punishment for each week.
Yeah, that sucks. And then they did away with the food comp.
I love
right.
the food
and I think that,
comp.
Yeah, I like the food comps too. Some of them were hilarious.
It made it so that we wouldn't have to see so many damn filler segments that we see every single episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, for instance, the romance of Blue and Jared. Oh, come on, please. Really?
Well, you know how Jared put it. Jared is now so fully convinced that either him or Blue is going this week that he wants to take her to Pound Town before one of them gets evicted.
Yeah.
That's his exact
I heard
word.
That.
Classy dude, huh?
That's, he, you know, he is so flippin' rude. He has got to be one of the rudest guys. He's just a mess.
It's hard. It's hard to believe that he's Ceree's son. The way that
Ceree needs to smack him upside the head.
Ceree's very mindful and thoughtful, and Jared seems to. I don't know. Maybe he takes after his dad, and that's why Ceree's alone.
Well, yeah, I don't know if Ceree and her husband are divorced or separated, but I do know that her husband is in the Army, and he is away a lot.
Well.
So,
it makes me wonder what would have happened if they had kept Heisem. Because Heisem claims that he would have stayed true to the professors. And I really think that Heisem could have potentially won this competition if he was still in the game.
Absolutely. I completely agree. He could have won the game.
Yeah.
Well, that's why it was so important to get rid of him.
Yeah. It was too much of a risk. It was too much of a risk to keep him.
Winning the game.
Because now that he's outside the house and he's saying, outside the house, he's probably fully aware of how he was received outside the house and all of that stuff. So for him to say, I would have worked with the professors, I would have been true to them, I would have been loyal, I'm like, I don't think he would have been. As vindictive and as mean as he was while he was in the house, I don't think that he would have. I think that eventually, it may not have been this week, but I think he probably would have gone after them shortly after.
He would have had
his revenge. He would have.
I think that Heisem would work with whoever would work with Heisem and play his game. I don't think Heisem was interested in working with anybody to further their game, only his game.
Yeah.
You know what?
And I mean, everybody's in there. And you know what? He stated to Derek and Cody today that he went in that house, he was focused, he wanted to play the game, and he wanted to win the game. And he wanted to play the game to win the game. And
well,
see,
if that was his goal, Melissa, he failed.
Mm-hmm.
He's not
he wasn't thinking. He wasn't thinking of what he, let's just put it this way. He wasn't thinking of all of the nuances that would have to happen for him to get to the end. So, you know, I think he had this plan that everybody was going to come in the house and they were all going to be kumbaya and he was going to keep his eye open and then he was going to be the first one to reach out and put together an alliance. Okay? But then there's this little blonde girl that he blames everything on, but it's not necessarily her fault. She just happened to get the blame because she was the HOH at the time. So anyway, they all get together. They're putting together this little alliance. They decide to bring in Jared. Well, that was a big mistake because Jared runs back to the other side and tells them all about it, right? And that's when Izzy and Heisem, the green-eyed monsters, were like, how dare they create an alliance without us in it? He was mad. He was furious. And he could not understand how that happened and how he got stuck with the little old ladies over here when all the cool kids are upstairs and he wants to be part of that. Right?
Yeah, I hate that term.
And then when he decided, I'm going to get her ass out because I'm blaming her for everything that happened, and blaming her for me not being able to be where I want to be, and then couldn't understand why everybody, you know, why she had these people that were willing to vote to keep her. Why would they throw away her game? I'm the king. I want you to vote her out. I want it to be unanimous. And whoever has the audacity to vote to keep her, their games are done, right?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think his ego was so far out in front of himself, and that's why he couldn't win the game, because he couldn't be rational. He couldn't be rational because his ego was tripping him up, and he lost because he's a dick.
Yep. So then he was just
I don't understand. Though.
I don't get it. Why are these people willing to throw their games away for her? What kind of spell does she have over these people? It's called friendship. It's called teamwork. It's called alliance. That's what alliance is supposed to do.
Yeah, well.
When Izzy went out there. What's sad, though, is that this is maybe the closest we've gotten to an old school Big Brother villain since they started the modern era of Big Brother.
Yep.
This is literally Heisum was literally the closest we've gotten to an old school Big Brother villain.
True.
Yeah. And it's like then when Izzy comes back after the veto was played, and she was like, oh, my God. And he was telling her, you got to do better, basically telling her that she was a piece of crap. You know, you've got to do better, blah, blah, blah. Who was it? I can't remember who it was. And he goes, I'm going to teach you how to apologize. So after he gets put on the block, he's going around and he's apologizing. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking to myself, if you guys are eating this up, then you're pretty dumb.
But you know something? I think he was told very carefully and clearly by both Izzy, well, all three actually, Izzy, Felicia, and Siri about what he had done. And he didn't actually hear any of that when it was being explained to him.
Yeah.
It went in one ear and out the other.
Yeah, he couldn't take it in again because his ego is standing so far in front of him, he doesn't see how anything he could do is incorrect or wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He needs the shrink. He doesn't need to be one.
Mm-hmm.
What's sad though is that if he had just given them a chance to speak and whatnot during their meeting and everything still went as scheduled, he would probably still be here right now.
Yeah.
And Felicia would have put up somebody like Blue, or she would have put up somebody else instead of Heisum.
But he kind of buried himself pretty quickly.
Exactly. That's what he did. He basically took the own shovel and he dug the grave himself. And everybody else just piled the dirt on that grave.
Well,
yeah.
And then when they told him that, you know, he'd been piling his own dirt on his grave, he just didn't hear it. He thought they were, his exit interview was all about their betrayal of him. That everyone else betrayed Hysum. Not that Hysum betrayed everyone else. And he did. He wouldn't let them be a party to their own group. That's a betrayal. Not trusting your teammates. That's a betrayal.
You know what, though? Even though he acted the way he did, I still think it was a stupid move on their part to target him right away because he's still a number. Yeah, you can make him feel like he's in charge when really you guys are the ones that are in charge. That's where they made a potentially fatal mistake by getting rid of him right away when he's basically this giant meat shield seeking up or soaking up all of the attention of the other side. When,
well, it depends.
And, you know, from what we were shown on the edit, there was no intent from him of working with the other side.
I disagree. To everybody when he made his apology, he said the same thing. I will work with whoever saves me.
True.
I will be loyal, ever saves me. So he said that to everybody. He said it to every single one of them. How could he possibly be loyal to everybody?
Right, exactly.
He continued to bury himself with his lies.
Yeah. He was like... they would get in a room to have a meeting, and all he would do is talk, right? Right? That he would talk,
right,
tell them
right,
what they needed
right.
to do, and right? And so you need to do this, right? And you need to do that, right? Okay, good talk. And everybody's sitting there looking at each other like, huh? Okay. And that's just the way he handles stuff. And...
yeah.
Then his vindictiveness with Riley, he wanted to twist that knife. He not only wanted to put it in her back, he wanted to twist it. And so he was like basically telling her about how she deserved what was happening. And
he was horrible.
I don't know.
He was horrible to her.
Yes, he was. He was very bad.
Yeah, I'm glad he's gone. And I think it's really interesting that, yes, I agree with you, Steve. It would have been safer for the professors to keep Hysum as a meat shield, but he was too big a liability. And secondly,
true.
It's going to make it much more interesting for us viewers that there aren't so many, there aren't just the two factions flopping back and forth with each other. There's so much mobility right now with the group. Who's going to end up where?
Well, don't forget, Ceri won Alliance Bingo by officially getting in an alliance with... by officially getting in an alliance with America this week, she has now had an alliance with every single person in the house.
Yeah, that's right. That's how she rolls.
To the point of where Cameron, the plan is that it'll be either Izzy or Jared, but more than likely Izzy going up on the block if either Jag or Blue win the power of veto.
Okay.
But obviously it sounds like, at least according to a conversation that Cam and Red had, that the main plan is for nominations to stay the same and for Jag to go. But if the veto does get used, Izzy's name has been thrown out there more than Jared's has so far.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that Okay, so this is what I remember from this morning. When he first came in, everybody was like, oh, we can finally go to bed, we can eat, we can shower, we can do all this stuff. And Cameron was sitting in the kitchen, and he's looking at the memory wall. And then he, you know what, I think a lot of the times when he cries, he's doing that for the cameras. Okay? I'm not necessarily...
I mean, it would be smart, it would get him on TV.
I'm not necessarily convinced that these are true tears. Because he just does it way too much, okay? So he's going to have to go, man. He's going to have to go. But we did not hear who he was meaning. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, I'm wondering if he's not thinking of putting Jared up. Well, then he was telling Jack, this morning I was looking at the memory wall and I was mapping the math, or I saw the math through the mapping or something like that. And I think he's finally realized, and I think he's made this, I think he made it a point before to see that Sari, Felicia, Izzy are in the very best spots in the house. Right? That they're going to have to break that up. Because they're able to make way too many decisions.
Yeah, but they get to slide a lot because they're older women. Nobody thinks they're smart enough to pull anything off.
No. I have got to tell you, that sitting there listening to the way they were talking about everybody in that room when they were sitting in the house, laying on the couch, which is another thing I got to say. I was watching the feeds last night, and I had it up on my TV because I have a smart TV. I've got Paramount in it, and I'm sitting there watching it, and they kept flipping back to Felicia. Several times, all four cameras were on Felicia. It's like, are you kidding me? Felicia getting chicken out of the refrigerator, chicken messing with the sun, making her tea, making some breading or whatever, coating or whatever she was doing. And then she gets her chips and she goes out, she lays down on the couch, covers herself up, and starts chewing on those chips. I'm like, oh, no. Okay, I'm just going to turn the feeds off. Oh, my God. So,
she's
then when Sari, when Sari and Jared, Sari, Jared, and Izzy finally come in, then they're, you know, they're all sitting there, and they're trashing everybody. Oh, they got to go. Oh, they got to go. I mean, they made the mean girls. They made the mean girls look nice.
I love Felicia last night, though. Some of the times that they would turn the camera over to her, and she would be passed out. Like, literally at one point, I believe she was snoring. Until they finally let everybody in. Until they let Izzy, Jared, and Sari in. Because in order to leave the box, they would have to leave in threes. In order to leave the pressure cooker. So I thought it was pretty funny. Some of the expressions that we got out of Felicia last night. Oh, and by the way, we have a official Alliance Feeds alert right now. Matt has officially spilled the beans about Cameron's plans to include him, Red, Bowie, Corey, and America all in an alliance. So Sari now knows
about
that, and he's...
Oh, no, Matt!
And Matt has also And Matt has also told Sari that Corey is not really into it.
Well, good.
Corey did kind of spill it a little bit. And he even told Sari that Jared or Izzy could go up on the block. So it really wasn't Matt's fault. Corey got to her first. Although he didn't come right out and say all the names and all that stuff.
Nadine dropped off, but Nadine, if you're listening to this, thank you for joining us tonight. If you're listening to this or if you end up calling back in. But we have replaced one Canadian with another Canadian.
With the other.
As we have,
hi, Laura.
We have Laura joining
hi.
Us.
Hi. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Hi. How are you guys? I'm on my cell phone, so I can't stay very long because I don't have international calling on my cell, but I do on the other phone, and my mom's talking to her boyfriend.
Well,
so,
you know, funny. Laura, I'm pretty tired from watching that pressure cooker competition last night.
I tried to stay up with you last night, sweetie, but I just couldn't do it. I was so tired, but I hung in there for a while, but I just couldn't stay up as late as you. I bet you're tired. I bet you're really tired. But when did you conk out?
About 3:30 or so. I originally conked out at 1:30, but then woke up like 10 minutes later staring at the screen, realizing that my laptop was still on because I had my headphones in too at the same time.
Oh. Well, so, you know, what do you guys think? I have to be honest, I've never been a fan of Cameron's. So, but I think what Melissa said on in the group, you know, on Whispers, that he had, you know, he's got military training. And I think that really helped him win that comp. Do you agree? Like, I think, you know, the conditioning that they receive, you know, in the military and everything, I think that I thought he did really well. But everything that he did to Riley, I can't get that out of my head. You know, Melissa?
I didn't know he had
I can't either. I was not thrilled when he won. I was not.
No.
Because I was really hoping that he would be up and out this week.
Yeah, me too. There were some clips on the feeds that were going around on Twitter as well. You know, he was just, I don't know, really forward and kind of touchy-feely, and it was kind of creepy. Like, he went to say goodbye to her, and he actually went on the bed and laid basically on top of her, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just, I don't know. I didn't like it at all, and
he gave off a stalkerish type of vibe,
yeah,
almost.
And that hasn't escaped me. And for some reason, I guess, you know, your first opinion of somebody just doesn't go away. And I mean, you have to know them for a long time. You know, honestly, I have really good friends that I had bad opinions about when I first met them. But they're really good friends of mine now. And, you know, I changed my opinion on them and I thought, oh no, that was me. And they've been my friends for 30 years, but I'm watching this guy on TV and what he portrayed was really creepy. I mean, I think, you know, I don't know. Like, I have male friends, and if they did that to me, I'd throw them out of my house. You know? So
yeah.
I don't know why he thought he could do that to her. But at any rate, that's just my opinion. I think Jag will probably win the veto. And I think that Red right now is, you know, he suggested, Cam suggested Izzy or, one of the three women, Siri or Felicia. And like Red said, no, you know, so Red's against that. But we'll see, you know, as a replacement, Nom, you know, who goes up. Could be Izzy, but I think Izzy would have the vote to stay. So, I don't know.
Well, that depends on who she's up against.
Well, if she's up against Blue, if Jag takes herself off, you know, I think Blue would go.
Not necessarily. Well, you know what? It's one and half a dozen of the other. Because
yeah.
I know that Jared would want to save Blue, and I know that he wants Izzy out.
Yeah,
he does
well,
not like
okay.
Izzy.
I have said this before, though. I have said that it would be a perfect opportunity to get rid of Izzy, you know, before jury. So on a back door, I have said because of the secret that she carries, that's basically the only way they could do it, because then she won't taint the jury. Like, you know, she won't tell anybody about Siri and Jared, right? And that's the only way. Like, they're beholding to her, and they're going to be beholding to her for the whole game, right? So,
yeah.
Because she knows the secret. So if you're going to get rid of Izzy, which, you know, I didn't like Izzy at the beginning, but she's growing on me. I think that if you're going to get rid of Izzy, you know, if Cam knows nothing about the secret, but I think that it would be a perfect moment for them to get rid of her because of what she knows, because it's pre-jury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? But at the same time, I really don't want to see her go because that, you know, I really like, I don't know, like, you guys are going to think I'm crazy, but I like Siri and Felicia. I know they're not going to win the game, but I think I'd like to see them go. They are providing good TV. They're providing good feed. They drive me crazy at times with all the flipping, but, you know, they're damn funny. And, you know, I think the feeds are pretty good, and it's going to be pretty boring without them there because, you know, everybody else, like, I find fairly boring on the feeds. Don't you?
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the players are pretty, like, Bowie Jane, she's basically just a piece of furniture in there. Red's one of those ones who continues to play both sides. There's a lot of players right now who are playing both sides, quite frankly.
Oh,
and,
my God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
It's just,
everybody's...
I mean, we have two solid sides, but the problem is that Jag doesn't even want a game play. Like, he doesn't want to talk game, hardly, ever. Matt, as we've seen recently, I guess he's acting as a double agent for Siri now, because it'll be interesting to see if he tells Siri now that Izzy is going to be the backdoor option. which,
he loves. He's no matter what just, alliance. Yeah, no matter what alliance Matt is in, he's going to go running to Ciri and Felicia. It doesn't matter. He feels comfortable with them, you know. So I think he'll protect them. And so I agree with you wholeheartedly. Like, I just think, you know, I mean, I don't think Matt would vote. I think Matt would vote blue out. But, you know, here's the other thing. It's all going to depend on this power that's coming up.
Right.
You know?
The power of instability.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know who the four players are going to be, but I think that could, you know, Jag could be one of the four players. He could win that, take himself off, or it could be blue, you know, who knows. Or, you know, I mean, if Izzy could be invincible, and I can tell you right now, Cam won't put up Felicia or Ciri. I don't think he would.
Well, he won't put up Ciri, but he could potentially put up Felicia, I feel, because he's given Ciri his word, but he hasn't given Felicia his word, and Felicia did put him up last week.
No, he said to Felicia, she went up to see him. It was on the feeds. She went up to see him, and he said, you have nothing to worry about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So,
by the way, do have Teresa joining us now as well.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi, how are you?
Sorry, I didn't hear
What's
you.
What's clicking, chicken?
Not much. We are officially on baby watch.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, is she already due?
Well, she's due in 2 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
Well,
I hope everything goes
well.
You
have something to look forward to.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, have you been watching the feeds, Teresa?
No, I have not gotten to watch the feeds, but I've heard it's been crazy.
Oh, yeah. So,
What about the episodes?
Yes, I have been watching the episodes, and Hassan, my gosh. The one that just got
Heisem.
Voted off. Heisem.
Yeah, Heisem.
He had the ego the size of the Grand Canyon. I was so glad to see him go.
You didn't feel sorry for him at all?
I did feel sorry for him, but it's kind of, I mean, it was tough because it was like, I agree. You know, you did feel bad for him, but then it's like when you got his the exit interviews he had today, he kind of seemed very bitter.
Well, I'd be bitter too. If my own alliance voted me out, I'd be bitter. You know, he made mistakes. That's for sure. He sure did make mistakes. But I guess, you know, hopefully he learned from them. And I actually did feel sorry for him. How do you feel about Cameron?
That's tough. I mean, I kind of liked him. I kind of like him from the standpoint of I respect of how he's trying, maybe not his game so much, but kind of respect him as a person of how he's taking care of his kid, if that makes any sense.
How did you feel about how he was taking care of Riley?
I missed that. What happened?
Well, he
okay.
pretty much gave off a stalker type of vibe with Riley.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't
see,
get
he
spots
his,
last week.
Yeah. Okay. So, Cameron is either separated or divorced from his wife, Stevie's mother. And so his wife, I think, is still in the Army, so she's away a lot. And so he does tend to take care of her, the single parent, okay, single dad. So basically, when he gets into the house, he sees Riley and develops kind of a crush on her. He says that she reminds me of my daughter, Stevie, and I just want to take care of her. I'm like her dad or whatever. It's like sickening. But I think he was infatuated with her. I think he really liked her. And he did not like the fact that she was so close to Jack and Matt and Blue. He kind of wanted her all to himself. So he was like, he would get her in a room and almost like he was trying to brainwash her and was saying,
ew.
I'm going to the other side. I'm going to go to the other side and I am going to infiltrate them and I'm going to get in good with them and I'm going to bring you over. Right? Because he was saying that their alliance was no more, that it was blown up, and all of this kind of stuff, and basically wanted Riley thinking that Cameron was her only hope.
Okay, now I can kind of get where, like, Laura's comment on a post from yesterday where she was coming from on that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, here's the thing. When he one time when he was leaving the room and he was saying goodbye to her, he, you know, I guess the thing is, you know, he compared her to his daughter, and then he basically gets on top of her and gives her a hug, or did he kiss her on the cheek too? I can't remember, but anyway, it was really, to me, it was really... at that
gross.
Point, well, you know, at that point, when you say that somebody reminds you of your daughter and then you get on top of her and give her a hug and a kiss, you know, like I thought, ooh, what are you thinking, man? You know, like, I don't know, just really,
Yeah,
it was bizarre to me.
Yeah,
and
right.
I haven't.
And then after Riley leaves, he was saying, well, I know that people think that Matt has it rough, but he was trying to make it seem like he was the one that was hurting the deepest and the most. It was hurting him more than anybody ever could imagine, right? And
yeah.
He's like, but I talked to Riley, and, you know, we're going to get together after the show. And it's just like, in your dreams, buddy.
Yeah.
Does he have
okay,
these dreams?
I may have to go
that...
back and watch some of these episodes to admit.
Yeah. She, you know, she's going to leave and she's going to wait for him. And when he gets out, they're going to be happily ever after. I don't think so. But anyway, Laura, what
yeah.
were you saying, hon?
Oh, nothing. You know, basically, I was just going to say the same thing that you did. You know, just reiterate
uh-huh.
on that. I just kind of felt that, I can't get past that. For, you know, it's just stuck in my brain. And so
uh-huh.
every time I look at him or see him on the feeds, you know, I just feel he actually makes me sick, you know. So at any rate, I feel like he's almost a cultist, you know, with the way he was talking to her. And then, you know, in addition, you know, all the other stuff that he said about his daughter, and then he's making moves on Riley, and yeah, it just kind of makes me sick to my stomach. But at any rate, who cares? You know, he's in charge now, and I guess we'll see what he's going to do. I'm really, again, interested in who's, you know, that power that's coming up is really going to change a lot of things. And I just want to mention one thing. Do you guys remember the last time we talked and I said that there was going to be all this flipping back and forth in the house?
Yeah.
With his Heisem? Yeah. So here's my thoughts on Heisem. I think he was a jerk. I think he did some rotten things. But I can't, you know, I can't imagine how it must feel to have the whole house against you and to have to be voted out unanimously and to have some hope, and then the hope goes away. And, you know, it was so much going back and forth. He apologized to a lot of people in the house. I personally think they're kicking their asses right now for not keeping him. Do you remember they said we should get rid of Cameron now? They should have got rid of Cameron.
It was Ceree in particular who said that.
Yeah. I think they should have got rid of Cameron. They didn't realize the threat that Cameron was. They thought they could get rid of Cameron at any time. But
they shouldn't have even targeted Heisem, period.
That's right.
Like,
absolutely.
They shouldn't have even put him up as a replacement nominee. Put up anybody else but him.
Yeah. He was on their side.
Yeah.
He would have been a shield.
Well, they weren't. I can see why they did this, okay? Because the way he was talking to everybody, once Riley was gone, he thought, oh, Riley is finally gone. Now I can put that team together that I actually wanted. Now that Riley she's not there and doesn't have the hold on these people, now I can be their king.
But what right do they have to say anything about him talking to other people? They've got 15 alliances.
Right.
You know, I mean, they have no right to judge somebody who's gone to talk to other people, and he did explain that to them. And I really think that some, you know, those people that live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. And those people have, I don't know how many people they've talked to have. I mean, I don't know, Steve. Like, there's so many overlapping alliances this year. Like, I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. And
it's crazy.
So, yeah. So for them to be casting stones at him for making another alliance or, you know, trying to do another alliance, I mean, you know, they've got a lot of fake alliances too. How do you know that his wasn't fake? I would have said, what happened to sitting down with somebody and discussing things and saying, you know, Heisem, I am aware that you've gone to so-and-so and so-and-so to form an alliance. You know, get it out in the open. But, you know, to backdoor somebody in your own alliance, and boy, they could use him now.
What should have been done is he should have just been pulled aside by somebody like Ceree or Felicia and said, are you aware of how you're being perceived? coming
That's
off
right.
of
Actually,
your last HOA.
Izzy told him. Izzy told him.
Well, not
Izzy
did
say
that's
something
just
to him.
That's just ignorance on his part, then.
No, she told him a little bit. You know, she didn't tell him, and you know, she should have. She didn't tell him about forming, you know, the other alliances, though. You
yeah,
know,
that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
She just told him that he was being a jerk, basically. But you know, the conversation should have been with him and Izzy and Siri and Felicia. They should have sat down in a room together, and they should have explained themselves and said, this is how the rest of the house is perceiving you. We are scared that you are going to be the next target, and we don't want you, you know, we don't want to lose you. So can you smarten up? You know, I would have. That's what they should have done. And they would have still had Heisem, and they would have had a comp beast. They would have had a shield and, you know, and probably a better person because they explained things to him. But, I mean, you know, it's just this happens so much, you know, like people don't say to other people in the game, you know, you're being a jerk or – you know, maybe you should, you know, slow down. But, you know, I was going to say, you know, I don't know who's a fan of Corey. I don't know why. I can't stand him. I think.
Honey, you know.
He's another Andy
Laura,
Hill.
This is why I love you. We see so many things the same.
Yeah. You know. Like, he reminds me of another Andy Huron, you know, Huron or whatever his name is. Anyway, you
Heron.
Know, he's running, huh?
Yeah, the little.
Andy
yeah.
Heron?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the little rat.
Yeah, he's running and from, you know, he's actually lying a lot. And he's running with information. He's starting to run with information to other people. And, you know, he's putting suggestions into Cam's head. And I'm going, and suggestions about Izzy and getting rid of Izzy, Felicia, and what's her name, Cerie. And, you know, at the same time, pretending to be really close to them. You know, in one
well, and then he goes back. He goes back and tells them, so and so is saying your name, but they're saying her name because he put it there, right?
That's right. That's right.
I was telling Steve earlier. I said that kid's going to win the game. Watch.
Well, he better not.
And I have a hard time taking him seriously because every time I look at him. I see a baby.
I know.
A little boy.
He,
a baby.
I wonder what he's taking at university.
I don't know. But he's too smart for his own britches.
Well,
by the way, I found the record for alliances made in a single season of Big Brother. And right
yeah.
now, it is Big Brother 23. The season of the cookout that holds the record with 19 different alliances made.
I'm surprised.
Wow, really?
19.
How about this
I don't
one?
Remember their.
How many alliances do we have in this one?
Well, let's see. Let me see if I can go into Big Brother Whispers and dig up something from.
Well, you know,
from,
okay. Well, I can do it something quickly. We started out with the crowd control, then the handful.
That's one.
And then the family
two,
style. Then the family style.
Three.
Three. That's three. Then the bye bye bitches.
Four.
Four.
Then the. Oh, my God.
We have the Brown Sugar Babes, which is 5.
The Brown Sugar Babies. The Brown Sugar Babies, this is 4. And then the Five Bay Bitches, which is 5. And then they had
the bookends.
Professors.
The Professors.
And there's the bookend.
The bookends is 7. The Crossroads is 8. The Fields is 9. Jamerica is 10, which is Jag in America. The Unreliables is 11. The seven did we already mention 7 Deadly Sins?
No,
not yet.
7 Deadly Sins is 12. Legend 25 is 13. The Beard Mance is 14. The For Real is 15. Comerica, which is Corey and America, is 16. Let's see. Boeisha, which is a fake final two, but Bowie doesn't know that. That's 17. Mizzy, which is Nicole and Izzy's duo, that's 18. And Jory, which is Jared and Corey, is 19. Oh, and
yeah, that's
right
there. It was the one that started today, remember? But they hasn't been named yet. And that's with Corey.
Right.
Corey, America, Red, Cameron, and Matt. And
so
was there Bowie in there, too?
21 different alliances.
There's how many? 21?
21 different alliances.
So,
21
so
is blue and red.
So we're going to surpass.
Not blue and red, blue and Jared.
Yeah, we're going to surpass
we already
season
have.
23. Yeah, yeah. So
and
it's
only
ridiculous.
Week 4.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, it's
oh,
it's
yeah,
absolutely.
And Jag and Blue. And Jag and Blue, so that's 22.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. So I really hope that this power that they get, you know, I'd like to see nominations stay the same, and I'd like to see Jag go. I don't mind if either one of them go. Blue could go, you know. Because I think Blue is really hurting Jared's game. And I think Jared is probably a better player than we give him credit for. But he's, you know, I mean, he's thinking with the wrong head, for one thing.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
Tyler
so,
2.0.
Yeah. You know, so I just think... either one of them could go and I'd be just fine with it. I just don't want the nominations to change because I don't want Siri to go and I don't want Felicia to go. If Izzy went, it wouldn't be a bad thing because it would be good for, you know, if it was a back door, she's not going to get up there and say, oh, save me. And by the way, you know, they're mother and daughter or mother and son, you know, because it's not them getting her out. But, you know, Izzy, if she's in jury, you can be damn sure that she's going to blow, you know, spill the beans to somebody in jury about Jared. Yeah. You know, so you don't want her in the game that far.
Right. I mean, this was brought up by Nadine, I think it was, that brought this up when she was on the line earlier. In regards to whether or not Izzy would spill the beans.
Yeah, and what did she say?
I think that I think she said along the same lines as you that she probably wouldn't if it's not their fault.
Yeah.
If it's not their fault, then she probably wouldn't say anything.
Yeah. But I just think she's got to go eventually. Like, I would like it, actually, if and I've changed my mind about Izzy. Like, I didn't like her at the beginning. But, you know, she's, you know, I'm kind of mixed emotions about it because or mixed feelings. I kind of feel that they probably need Izzy as a vote, as a number, right? But do they need, when they cut her at the end, and she goes to jury, let's say they get to the end, and she cuts her, somebody cuts her, she's going to go to jury, and she's going to spill everything. Or even if she, I just don't know. Like, it's sort of a mixed bag here, you know? Like, they need her as a number, though, but I don't know. Like, it's really kind of... I don't know. What would you guys do if you had Izzy in the house and you were...
Let's go to Reggie first. Reggie, do you think that Izzy will spill the beans before she gets potentially backdoored? Reggie?
Hello?
She may have muted herself.
Yeah, she may have muted herself, I think. Well, what about you, Teresa?
Sorry, I muted myself. Sorry, I muted myself as well, but I think there's a very good chance she will probably spill the beans.
Yeah, remember when I first got on, I said if Izzy gets put on the block, when she gets voted out, she will let it out.
Yeah. I agree.
But speaking of three, are house guests allowed to be on social media?
No.
No.
Okay.
If they have somebody running for them, or if they have somebody running it for them, yes.
Okay, I was curious because I kept seeing posts from Tariq on Instagram. So.
Yeah, no, that's because she has somebody running it for her. So, I've seen it in previous seasons where people have
Who's doing your dishes? Who's doing their dishes? What's going on here?
I'm sorry, I'm doing my dishes. Sorry. I'm actually cleaning the cat plate. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I just couldn't hear.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm done. Okay. I should probably, I'll go and put myself on mute. Hang on. Go ahead.
What were you asking about?
Who, me?
Yeah, before we went into dishwashing.
Oh, because I noticed that Therese's Instagram account has really been active.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the social media posts. I've seen it happen previously, especially with newer house guests. That if they're on the show, they have somebody operating their Instagram or Twitter or, well, I haven't checked Facebook accounts, but usually when somebody goes on the show, they have somebody operate their accounts, especially if they're social media influencers of any kind, like Blue or somebody who was almost on this season, Frankie Grande. Thank God he isn't. But yeah, it's not out of the ordinary for them for their accounts to be posting while they're in the house, that is.
Yeah, because I kept seeing it on Instagram, and I was like, well, I'm going to have to ask about that because I was curious.
Yeah, and, especially considering the fact that Sari is a former, a former Survivor player to begin with, that obviously, she has to keep posting stuff to her. She has to have somebody keep posting stuff to her account. Otherwise, people will lose interest, essentially, in following her, basically. So, and it's possible, too, that she might get ad revenue from sort of like what's going on with Twitter now, that people who are verified – now, granted, Twitter is a completely different hellscape now – but people who are verified, they now can essentially get, they can get ad revenue of sorts from, depending on how many people see their postings and whatnot, and how many likes and how many retweets that people have and everything. So that's partially why, assuming if they do the same thing with Instagram, that's partially why she probably has somebody still posting on her account. Because that way, she's still getting that profit coming in, even though she's in the house. But Laura, you should be added back in.
Okay. All right. Can you hear me?
But looking at, yeah, I can hear
you.
Yeah,
I can hear you.
Okay.
But, looking at the current state of the house right now, it does look like, obviously, we have Jag and Blue on the block. Cameron, their plan is to keep nominations the same. And actually, there are a couple of people who are going to pick Izzy, apparently, to play in the veto if they get house guest choice. But if somebody does come down, Izzy is likely to be the replacement nominee. But Cam is sort of wavering back and forth, so maybe not exactly 100% guaranteed. However, though, I think a huge wild card now is going to be Matt because of the fact that he's essentially acting as a double agent for Sari.
Yeah.
So everything that he finds out, Sari's going to know about.
Yeah.
And
so Jared was doing that. Jared was doing it, and so was Corey.
Right.
Yeah, but Corey is lying.
Well, about some things he is.
Yeah.
But
I wouldn't trust him as...
For the most part, he has told Sari what she needs to know.
Yeah. I wouldn't... But he's also mentioned their names to... Cam.
Right.
I don't know.
He's playing both sides of the fence.
He's going to get caught.
Yeah, that's pretty much what he's been doing. And the problem with this game is you can only play both sides for so long.
Before eventually it comes out. Back and bites in the backside.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know, before it bites you in the ass. You can only play both sides for so long before you ultimately end up having to make a choice. You know, either you're on this side or you're on this side. You can't be in the middle.
So out of curiosity, do you know when possibly they're going to start jury?
That is a good question. I don't know if it's after this week or if it'll be after next week because of the fact that we have an extra house guest this season. I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, would they do, let's see. They had 17 house guests, right, this year?
Yeah. And for the most part, they usually have 18, don't they?
No, usually they have an even number of house guests, which would mean it would be an odd number jury.
Right.
So,
but they're going 100 days.
Unless they do something. Yeah. Yeah, they are going 100 days, but unless they do something where, like, say, America will get a jury vote to make it 11 votes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of thinking that pre-jury may be one more week this season because of the extra cast spot. I don't know. I don't think they would go with. I don't think they would go with an even jury.
No, because there's too much chance of a tie.
Well,
right. Which I don't think. I don't think they've ever. They've never had a tie. So the only I would assume that maybe they would do live voting from America in that case if there was a potential tie, but I don't know. I think it's going to be either one of two things. I think it's going to be either a 9-person or an 11-person jury, which if that's the case, either there's one more pre-juror after this week, or they give America the chance to cast the jury vote.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so we started with 17. Luke is gone. Kirsten is gone. Riley's gone. And Heisman is gone. So that would leave
13
left in the house.
Yeah.
And if they do a 9-person jury plus 3, you're right. One more.
I mean, the other option would be to make this, to make whoever leaves this week be a juror, but I don't think they would start jury this early, 4 weeks in.
No. No, I think whoever does this week is probably going to be pre-jury, and it's probably going to be a 9-person jury. It's been a 9-person jury the last few years, hasn't it?
Yeah, for quite a while it's actually been a 9-person jury. So that would mean that we would have two more pre-jury boots, including this week's boot.
Yeah.
So.
Well.
There's
a double coming.
Is there?
Well, shouldn't there be?
It probably won't be until like maybe the second week of jury.
Okay.
I think.
It's hard to say because since we have 100 days, which is a few days more than what we normally have, okay?
Yeah.
Sarah
and they
said
had
the possibility of a buyback.
Well,
oh,
there could
be
one in jury, but we were thinking that that's what this power of invincibility. So if we bring one person back.
The power of invincibility would basically be a reset. It wouldn't be a buyback. It would be a reset.
Right. Basically, what we have to think of is we're going to have 11. Okay, we're going to have 9 people in the jury and probably 3 people in the final 3. And so we'll probably need how many weeks?
So
I can't math. I'm sorry. I'm
jury. If we're doing a 9-person jury, this week and next week would be our 2 final pre-jury booths.
No, 9.
Then weeks.
All right. Okay. Oh. You know what? I was adding one more that I shouldn't have been. So a 9-person jury plus the 2, that would be 11. There's 13, so 3 need to go before jury.
No, 2 need to go. 2 need to go. You're forgetting.
Okay.
We've already gotten rid of 4.
You're right. No, because we're going to get 1 person back, remember? We're going to get 1 person back, so we have to do it again.
Oh, okay. I get what you're saying. No, I get what you're saying. That it would be, essentially it would be 3 evictees, even though one of the evictees would come back. So.
Right. And then it would have to be eviction again.
Well, here's the thing I'm wondering is if the person that's evicted gets saved, does that mean the other person gets evicted?
Yes.
I don't know.
Okay, so let's say they have Blue and Jag on the block.
Why can't
they? Let's say they have Blue.
Why can't they just
they have
remove
Blue and Jag
one? Why can't they just remove one person that's saved and put another one up?
Well, they might
because
do that.
Because that would be on live event.
We don't know. We don't know. I'm not exactly sure exactly how they're going to do it. But he said one of the 2 next 2 evictees.
Mm.
So they have to be evicted before they can be saved.
Oh.
So basically, it would be that the person would have to be saved immediately after they get evicted. Be like
if he
it couldn't be like Jag gets evicted this week and then Blue gets evicted next week and then next week whoever has the power decides to bring back Jag.
Hmm.
It couldn't be like
well,
that.
Well, it could
has
be
to
that.
Be,
I,
yeah.
It's kind of like the take your chances type thing. So, for instance, if Jag won the veto and took himself down and they put Izzy on the block and Izzy was evicted, if Matt won the power, he could say, yeah, I think I'll wait till next week.
Yeah, exactly. So, and if he decides to wait until next week, he would then have to save that evictee and not Izzy because...
But he doesn't necessarily...
Otherwise,
I wonder if he does,
no,
if he has
it would
to.
Make no sense.
I
oh,
wonder
no,
if he would
have
to use the power.
I don't think they have to. It said something like, or it goes away forever. The way they explained it is that it has to be used within the next 2 weeks or it goes away forever. Which, I mean, it goes away forever anyway. So what's the, you know,
yeah.
why include
so,
that?
So like next week, then let's say Cameron and Red get on the block and Cameron's evicted and Matthew says, I'm not going to save him either. it just goes away.
It just goes away. Like he couldn't say next week or this week Jag gets evicted and then next week Cameron gets evicted. He couldn't then next week decide, oh, I want to bring Jag back in. The power would have to be used immediately after that person gets evicted.
Okay.
Like immediately after the votes are read. That's my read on it, at least.
Yeah, that could be.
Because it's kind of like it's kind of like, for example, you know when they did the reset button, and whoever was evicted that week ended up trying to open the door and they couldn't open the door. It would basically be like that.
Yeah.
Like if somebody were to decide to use their power. Or maybe what they might do is they might say, you know what? I don't know how they would go about it then. I don't know how they would go about it because the house guests, they would know that there's a power in play. They would know that there's a power in play because there would be a competition. So what they could say is they could ask if whoever wins the power, if they want to use their power.
But they have 2 weeks to use it, right?
Right. Including this week. So this week and next week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I suppose they could the person's going to be exposed regardless because of the fact that they're going to be competing in a competition for it. The only thing is people won't know what the power is except for the power holder.
Yeah.
And it'll probably be something where they can't tell anybody or else the power becomes invalid.
Yeah. I wonder who's the four are going to be. That's going to be interesting.
It'll probably be whoever is popular with the casual crowd.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm completely confused. Because when I read it, I just heard that America was voting to give a person the power of invincibility. That America was voting to give them the power and they wouldn't have to compete for it. It's a done deal.
No,
once America gives them the power, they got it.
No, it says here the top four vote getters will secretly compete individually for a chance to win.
Compete
individually. So maybe there is a chance that four. Wait a damn minute. So, it says compete individually. So, does that mean we could have four? So, the top four vote-getters will secretly compete individually for a chance to win the BB Power of Invincibility.
Okay.
So, it has to be four.
Where are you reading that?
Each other.
On the CBS site.
On the CBS site. Yeah.
Okay, I guess I missed that.
It says the top four vote-getters will secretly compete individually. Now, that doesn't mean, is it individually as in against each other, or is it individually as in, like, a timed thing?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a timed thing. But
It says the winner... The winner can save one of the next two evictees, even themselves. The power can be used at the next two live evictions, or it goes away forever. So it sounds like there is a chance that it cannot it won't be used.
You know, I think that's really dumb, because if one person has, like, if they win, like, clearly 90% of the vote, let's say, that would really suck that they would have to go against three other peons to get this thing. And chances are that America's just voting for nothing, right?
Well,
I don't
know.
Sort
of like previous America's votes, like the MVP, for example. How do we know that it's really America voting and not production deciding who to award it to? Remember when Alyssa won MVP multiple times? That wasn't from America. That was from production. Because everybody that season hated Alyssa. By Alyssa at the beginning of the season. Alyssa being Rachel Riley's sister.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Everybody despised her, but yet she kept winning MVP week after week after week.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, but
I don't know, but Rachel had a lot of followers, you know, and she could have, I don't know, influenced that vote, that's for sure. You know, so I don't know. Hard to say, really.
I'm just having a hard time dealing with it. That just doesn't seem right to me. It just doesn't seem fair, but okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, you guys, I'm outside right now walking my dog, and I better get going because I got to make sure she does all her business. But it was really nice talking to everybody. Thanks a lot. And thanks a lot for what you guys do. You and Steve, Melissa, do a wonderful job. So
thank you, Laura.
We'll talk soon. Love you both. And see you
soon.
Love you,
too.
Okay. All right.
Have fun.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Talk to you later, Laura.
It is in the third hour. So don't get disconnected or you won't be able to get back in.
Yes, and a reminder, by the way, to anybody, a reminder to anybody listening on the archives, you guys can feel free to call in at 657-383-1308. Every Friday night, we are live for as far as callers go. Callers can call in anywhere between 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern. On Friday nights to talk Big Brother. Now, obviously, those of us that are on for the third hour, once we get disconnected, like Laura just hung up right now, she will not be able to get back on the line until next week because of Blog Talk Radio rules. So anybody who is listening to this, if you want to join us in the future, just join us by dialing 657-383-1308, and we will get you on here, and you can talk some Big Brother with us. But anyways, on with the third hour.
Okay. Oh, Reggie.
And
yes.
Reggie that wanted to see. Did you send that link to Reggie?
Oh, no, hang on. I will send it to her. Okay,
dancing.
And it's not the full clip, unfortunately, but it is kind of edited.
Okay.
I'm going to try and see if I can find as many clips as possible.
It's kind of on a loop there, but she basically does that thing all the time. It's basically the same thing, and then when the lights come on, she stops.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
China, what?
And she kept doing it until it bit her in the ass at the end, and she ended up losing grip of her button.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
She got a little bit too carried away.
Ah.
Anyway, so what haven't we talked about that we need to talk about? Pretty much talked everything about Cameron, went over and over about Hysom. Why don't we talk about how Sari and Felicia, especially, are so flippin' paranoid. It was like Jared finally went in. He was telling somebody, he says, Mama C is watching that HOH TV and she is spiraling. I just know that they're in some kind of alliance because they're walking into the other room and they, you know, even though one went to one room and one went to the other, they couldn't see that. They just saw them walking through the living room together and thought immediately, see, I told you, they've got something going on. There's an alliance there. We've got to keep Hysom. It was just, I could not believe it. I was totally, completely blown away by that. It's like, I just can't with these women. They're just driving me batshit crazy.
That's what the Big Brother house will do to you. The Big Brother house will just completely send you into a state of paranoia, which is what these people are living with on a daily basis.
See,
you know, eventually,
see,
it's almost like the Big Brother house is one giant pressure cooker. No pun intended.
Yes, exactly. The thing is that the people that don't watch the feeds, okay, when you're not watching the feeds, that's why it's important to read the updates, because we're going to be telling you what's really going on in the house, because the regular show is only showing you what they want you to see. So they miss a lot.
Oh yeah, definitely. They miss a whole bunch when it comes to and you know that's why I hope. That's why I hope that, you know, it never really goes away, that the live feeds don't go away, because otherwise, you know, there's just a whole bunch of stuff that people are going to miss out on. And the episode, you know, it kind of makes me think back a little bit that maybe this is just the type of person that Sari is when it comes to, you know, obviously we're known from seeing, or, you know, we're used to seeing Sari from Survivor episodes, which are obviously edited to fit what they want to put into the episode. Maybe this is how Sari was out on the island.
It could be. It could be, and we'll never know.
Yeah, I mean, it's entirely possible that this is just how Sari was out on the island, you know? And obviously, you know, being on Big Brother and being on camera all this time, 24/7 feeds, everybody's going to be able to see the type of person that you are.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's just nuts. Well, but she has mentioned several times that it just wasn't like this out on, you know, in Survivor. It wasn't like this.
True. So, you know, maybe the way she was edited on Survivor is exactly how it was out there on Survivor. But
yeah.
You know, I think potentially another thing too is, you know, she claims to be a big Brother fan, that maybe she's potentially doing it partially because the audience loves that kind of shit. They love to see chaos, you know. They love to see shit get stirred up. Maybe that's a bit intentional on her part to cause, you know, all this paranoia, even if it has to do with some of her allies.
Yeah, but it's really given, it's, let's put it this way. I loved her on Survivor. I really did. And I wanted to like her in Big Brother. But I become more and more frustrated with her every single week. She's driving me nuts. Her and Felicia.
Well, you know, 24-hour cameras will do that.
Yeah, and Izzy has driven me nuts from day one, so.
So nothing has changed on that part, basically.
Which, by the way, and this is nothing against her. Nothing against her. I don't really care. But I do believe that she may be transgender.
I could see that.
Mm-hmm. I think that her pronouns are probably he, him. And the reason why I discovered that is because she does not shave under her arms. She was in the hammock and she had her arms up over her head and it was thick like a man, like thick, dark hair.
Well, to be fair, French women don't shave.
Well, I know, but is she French?
No, but
okay.
I'm just trying to say, you know.
That was funny. Is she French?
Maybe she's just not too keen on shaving.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I just, the way she dresses, the way she talks, her mannerisms, the not shaving, it just, and there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying that I think she may identify as a male.
Who's that?
Izzy.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. My goodness. My kitty, I tell you what, I'm going to kick her butt.
Yeah, okay.
You need to go lay down. You need to go lay down, baby.
Why?
Because she's driving me nuts.
Okay, and that sounds like petty for me.
By the way, it looks like Red has basically I forget who he was talking to, but he mentioned that Ceree would not be a replacement now.
Well, we kind of knew that. I was thinking if anybody was going to be a replacement nom, it was going to be Jared or Izzy.
But I forget exactly what he said. He said something like he would like somebody would have to kill him first before he would be part of having Saribi put up as a replacement or something like that. I forget the exact thing.
Well, then Cameron must have said something. Cameron must have said something to him if he was that adamant about it.
Yeah, and now Cameron has told Sari again that she will not hit the block she will not hit the block as a replacement mom this week. So, and oh, you know what? That brings up something I wanted to talk about earlier. Corey had information about the vote almost flipping with Cameron potentially going. He brought it up to Cameron, and instead of implicating Sari in it, he decided to pile everything on Izzy instead. There's so much more damage he could have done. And instead, he decided to just very lightly pile it onto Izzy.
What's he got against Izzy?
Because he knows that she's the head of the snake.
Oh. I see.
Yeah, that she's the one causing the paranoia.
Even though Felicia would vehemently deny, she would think that she's the head of the snake.
Oh my
yep.
God.
Anyway, she was saying when everybody was still in the pressure cooker, Sari and I have to be sitting in those final two seats. We have to be sitting in those final two seats. I don't know how we're going to get there, but we're going to get there. Mark my words. I have a feeling. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. She was going on and on about her and Sari being in the final two.
Well,
and I'm like, well, it would help if you guys could actually win a competition and not a crapshoot, right?
Right.
Well, she was the only one in that crapshoot competition to actually aim down the middle.
Yeah.
Everybody else.
But then how many of those crapshoots can she win?
Would bounce off. Well, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, we don't know how she would win any other competition besides that crapshoot comp. It just seemed the way that people were. I mean, they didn't even. It seemed like they didn't even try to even apply enough force, like. When they were doing those swings, especially when they were aiming at the side, they were expecting that the ball would bounce. Didn't really bounce off of the sides because they didn't apply enough power to their swing that they did. So of course it's not going to bounce, and that's basically what gave Felicia the opening to essentially become the HOH.
Yeah. I kept thinking, this is why she is surrounding herself and making all of these alliances, because she thinks everybody's going to be playing for us to win now. They're all going to protect us, and Felicia and I will be in those final two seats. Which I don't think Sari really wants to be with Felicia. I think she'd rather be with Jared. But
oh yeah.
If she doesn't want to be with Jared, then she wants to be with Felicia. And in order to do that, she's got to have all of those big guns protecting them and playing for them to get down there. But what are they going to do in the end? I don't see them winning those brutal competitions in the end. I don't. And you know what? To tell you the God honest truth, people are going to say, there is no way I can take Ceree or Felicia to the end because everybody loves them. Everybody.
That's a good point. That's a
so
good
if
point.
I take them
they,
to
they,
the
they
end,
may not be
there is
threats.
No way. There's no way I'm going to win if I take them with me.
Right, because they may not be physical threats, but they could be, clearly from what we're seeing, Ceree is a social threat. And as far as strategy goes, honestly, I would put Ceree ahead of both Izzy and Felicia right now.
Right.
So clearly,
but Izzy doesn't want anybody thinking that. She wants to take credit for everything now. And the thing is with Izzy, what was it? They were sitting there one day and Izzy says, do you want me to go down and see what's going on? And Felicia says, well, yeah, I want you to go see what's going on since they never let us give us a minute alone to talk. It's like, what are you doing right now? You guys were sitting in that comic room. You talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And it's you, my little honeys, that won't leave them alone. Izzy's in every room, every conversation, and she does not like it when somebody's talking to Ceree without her. She makes it a point to be in that room when Ceree is talking to anyone. Have you noticed that?
A little
Steve?
Bit. A little bit.
So,
I mean,
it's
I have
like...
I have noticed that there is usually, whenever they've had the opportunity to talk alone, that usually one of them is bitching about something.
Mm-hmm. And it's usually Izzy.
Oh,
and she's
America
usually pissed off.
America may have people lined up here. Because she is aware that there are indeed fake alliances currently in the house. I think she knows. The problem with America is she knows a lot, but she also gives up a lot of information.
Yep. Yeah.
Cameron has told Ceree that Jared isn't on his radar, so it's basically confirming that it's Izzy.
Yeah. You know, in the very beginning, I really liked America a lot. I did. Then when she started trashing Riley and all of that to everybody else, she kind of lost me. Okay?
Yeah.
And I really don't like the fact. I think that I really, everybody wants Corey and America to have this fling. They're calling them, Corica or whatever.
Comerica.
Comerica. And I'm like, she's 27, he's 21-ish. And she's too old for him, number one.
What?
He is too socially awkward for her.
True.
And I don't see it ever working.
True.
No.
But she was saying, she was crying, and she basically said, that all she wants to do is get him up in the doggy bed in the have-not room.
Ew.
And I'm
like... Kind of like how Jared wants to take Blue to Smashdown.
Yeah. It's like she's only interested in the sex part. And it's like, you know what? If you're interested in the sex part, I would definitely be trying to flirt with Matt instead of Corey. You know?
Well, Matt's mind has already been taken permanently by Riley, by Riley's ghost.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think he probably wouldn't go for America. But if that's something that if she was only looking for sex, she should just be trying to get Matt and leave Corey alone. Because Corey is just,
right,
like, kind of freaked out about the whole thing. Right?
Yeah, it was so awkward watching him fist bump her when she wanted a kiss, I believe it was. And he ends up fist bumping her. It's like,
yeah, but then he went back. He went back. Was it after they made that fake alliance with Cerie and Felicia? I don't remember. But anyway, he went to fist bump her and then go to give her a hug, and she was just like, yeah, yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. She was kind of pushing him away, like, no, I don't think so. Like, she had changed her mind about him.
Well, yeah, because he failed the first test.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm trying to wait and see what America does in the next couple of weeks, because, I mean, I think she's kind of a good player. She has the potential of being really, really good. She'd learned how to shut her mouth.
And meanwhile, Jared and Blue are so desperate to become the next April and Ollie.
Well, the thing with Blue is that she thinks she's got Jared changed. She said when Jared first came in, he was just kind of blah, blah, blah. She was talking about that she was going to fix him because he was broken and all of this kind of stuff. And she was telling America, he's changing. I can just tell he's changing now. And they're all like, yeah! They were giggling and laughing, you know, like girls do. And,
yes.
Squee! Yeah. And I'm thinking, okay, honey, number one, I think she's like polyamorous, I guess, or basically bisexual.
Right. It's weird because, well, actually, no, that technically, yeah, that does fall under LGBTQ. Because,
yeah,
that does fall under that.
Yes. And that's like everybody was saying, there's no way that Claire and Derek are going to make it because she's bi. And it's like, she's bi, but she's in love with Derek. Right? So
right.
I don't think she's going to go out looking for a girlfriend. She's chosen her honey.
Yeah, needless to say, she's definitely found her match. Now the only thing is now they're just it's like both of them are trying to strategically position themselves to where, okay, are we going to have sex in the HOH room? Are we going to have sex in this bed? It's like they're in a negotiating period right now.
It's stupid. The thing is I think production is behind this a lot. Everybody's pulling for you guys to get together. Everybody wants a showman. Because right now, quite honestly, they're their only hope of having a showman this year.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, showmances essentially went out the door as soon as Riley got evicted.
Yep.
Because, I mean, that
and
was
you know
the
what?
Big
I'm not
showmance
even,
that they were
trying
to build.
I'm not even sure
that
Riley, I don't think Riley would have allowed herself to do that. I don't think.
No, because it looked like they were trying to build up her and Matt.
Yeah, but I think that, you know, and she did admit during one of her interviews that she became closer to Matt than she ever thought she would. But I'm not so sure that she would have wanted to have a relationship on Big Brother. You know what I mean?
Yeah, true, because, you know, just because you have a relationship on Big Brother outside of the house is a completely different thing.
Right.
Right. I think that she cared a lot about him, and I wouldn't be surprised if they actually did try something outside of the house. But it'll be outside of the house.
Possibly. Yeah, it would be. It would obviously be outside of the house.
If nothing else, they'll be pretty close friends, I bet.
Probably. I mean, God knows that they've been, you know, they've been trying to be all over each other.
Oh, I was talking about Riley and Matt.
Oh, Riley and Matt. I thought you were talking about, wow, I got lost. I thought you were talking about,
yeah, you did.
Yeah, I thought
you
were talking
about.
You
took a wrong turn somewhere there, Steve.
Yeah, yeah. I thought you were talking about Jared and Blue.
No, I was talking about
Riley
and Matt.
Yeah, I think they'll just be just friends because, you know, of course, Riley already has something planned with Cameron after all.
Oh, God, no. No, no, no.
Oh, God,
I would almost
yes.
bet you
yes,
10
yes,
bucks
yes.
that she's watched clips and heard people talking about that. I bet you $10 she runs the other way. Puts them on block. I would if I were her.
Hey, she probably already has.
Mhm. I would if I were her. And not to
anyway,
mention, I don't know how old he is, but he's way too old.
Well, let's see. We'll find. I believe he's in his 30s, actually. He's like 32, I think. No, 34.
He looks older than that.
Well, it's the beard.
I guess.
He's 10 years older than her.
Yeah. That's too old. You know, it's like my daughter. When she was a lot younger, she met this boy at school. I think she was like a freshman and he was a senior. And I told her she couldn't date. She was only like 15. I said, you can't date until you're 16. And, you know, she would Skype with this guy. She would Skype with him and all this kind of stuff. And I could hear her in the other room. And they were talking about everything under the sun. And they'd giggle and they'd laugh and they were just having such a good time. I told my husband, I said, I know he's older than she is. But they get along so well. They're having such a good time. What if this is her one? And if we keep her from dating him, what's going to happen? He turned out to be an ass. I said, before, on her 16th birthday, I said, before you go out on a date with him, we're going to go to dinner. Your dad and I are going to meet him, you know, because we have to, he is older than her, so we have to really be careful. And so after dinner, he was going to take her out for ice cream and stuff. And she came home and she just said, nope, the end.
Did she ever tell you that?
Because he wanted to have sex, and she's like, no way. Bye-bye.
Oh, no.
See ya. Yep.
Jack finally got rid of his chicken suit.
Yay.
Good.
He's back to being just regular Jag now.
Good job.
You know what? That reminds me. I was trying to make a joke yesterday during the live chat about the house guest having free fried chicken if the pressure cooker got too hot. But then I realized, shit, they're blowing in cold air, so technically they'll have frozen chicken.
Uh huh.
For anybody who doesn't get that, it's because he was dressed in a fucking chicken suit the entire time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't get it. I was like, okay, Steve, that's good.
Yeah, don't mind me. I'm just living in my own little world, so you could just forget about me.
Pity party for one, table of one. I'm getting so tired. I've been sitting here drinking like Sprite and taking cough syrup down to a couple of aspirins. But I know it's almost time to sign off anyway, but I've got to go. I can't take no more.
Okay, Reggie.
All right.
Well, I hope you feel better.
I do too. I think it's just a 48-hour bug. Okay, night-night.
Hope you feel better, Reggie. You know what? I completely forgot about Izzy and her lusting over Matt when he got slimed this week.
Yeah.
She goes,
I play for the other side, but I think there's a little 1%. Yeah. Left for Matt.
I'd love to be the slime in all of his crevices.
Yo.
And I ended up posting. I ended up posting a tongue wiggling animation. I think the guy looked like Pauly Shore or something. I don't know. The guy that was doing the tongue wiggling. That was basically Izzy thirsting over Matt pretty much the entire time that he was covered in slime.
Yeah.
That's another thing, though. That's how, seriously, since when has winning an HOH involved a punishment for the HOH? Seriously.
I don't know. He won the veto and got the punishment.
No, I'm talking
that
about
wasn't an
when
HOH.
Felicia when Felicia won the HOH.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
And that part of it had to do that every single time a person got slimed, she also had to get slimed.
Yeah, no, it was Felicia, you're going to have to get slimed and you need to bring somebody with you. So it was her punishment, but she had to bring random people with her.
I mean, seriously?
Mm-hmm.
It's since when has the winner of an HOH comp, unless it was something like they did in Big Brother 7 in All Stars, where they had what would you do to win the power of veto? Unless it was something like that, like when Chicken George went on slop for the rest of the season and shaved his head, and among other things.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't remember there being an HOH that ended up having to have a punishment as a result of winning. It just seemed odd. It seemed odd to me watching that. It was like, okay, so they basically did this because they did, because they just needed filler time on the episode.
Yeah, most likely.
And so, and somebody probably figured, oh, well, this is a good way to, you know, this is a good way to kill time.
Yeah, that and the multiverse or the scary verse or this verse or that verse or whatever it is that twisted it all around, and now she's got a punishment on top of her HOH.
Was it the scary verse?
I don't know.
Eh, whatever. It still, it just doesn't, I don't think, you know, winning the HOH, you're supposed to, the good things are supposed to come from winning HOH, not punishments.
Agreed.
But I understand. I understand, though, you know, they needed time to fill, apparently, this past past week. So, and I just realized everybody else abandoned us. So it's just me and you, Melissa, for the final 15 minutes of the show.
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, whatever could we talk about for the next 15 minutes? Because right now, it doesn't look like anything much is really happening on the feeds, except for they're lining up like cafeteria students, I guess, for Miss Felicia's dinner, whatever she cooked. Doesn't seem like there's really any game talk that's going on. All the game talk stopped, I believe, within the last hour.
Yeah, it'll pick back up again after dinner, probably. No, you
I'm
know
sure
what? They're all pretty
work.
Exhausted. I would bet you any amount of money that they'll probably all go to bed early.
Oh, my God.
What?
I'm going to have to get a new soundbite to play for dumbasses. Red literally suggested to Cam, in order to avoid having to put Izzy up, to put him up as a pawn.
Oh my God.
If the veto is used, to put him up as a pawn.
Wouldn't that be funny as hell? Oh my God.
It would be very,
you know,
big
I think there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of people who kind of like Red, but
they're
all saying
the
he is just this.
Him and Cam have been targets. They would have been targets this week. If he goes up on the block, he's going home.
Right. Exactly. So the thing is, Yeah, he would be going home because the house pretty much wants him out. They think he's very, very dangerous. I know there's a lot of people out there who, in the fandom world, that really like him. Oh, he's so down to earth, and he's just so nice, and he's funny, and stuff like that. But he can be a little stinker. If you're watching the feeds, you see he lies.
Oh, yeah.
He can lie
big
through
time.
His teeth. Oh, yeah. He's not quite the little church mouse that people think he is. The country bumpkin.
I can't believe
Cameron became quite the country bumpkin when he started hanging out with Red, right?
Right.
I don't know.
Well, to be fair,
he kind of really picked up that accent.
Cowboy, too.
He he wasn't really that way in the very beginning, I don't think. It wasn't until he started hanging out with Red that he started.
He called himself the Space Cowboy, though. So
he was
already a little bit of a country bumpkin, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. But I know that he is a really big fan of Big Brother. Cameron is. And I think that he is doing everything in his power to try to gain the love from the fans. And I think people can kind of like see through him a little bit, like me. He's just kind of creepy. His tears are kind of phony. The way he talked, I think he wants to be like, oh, he's like Dr. Will. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it just makes me not like him any, not like him more. I don't know. I would take Red any day over Cameron.
I just can't believe I read that about Red. Like, seriously.
It's hilarious. That would make me laugh so hard.
I mean, seriously.
Let's just put it this way. I'll put the words right back in his mouth. That would go over about as well as a fart in a church. Right? Isn't that what he said?
Yeah.
Something about a fart in a church?
Yeah, that's what he brought
up.
Oh,
the fart in a church on Sunday morning.
Yeah, a fart in a church on Sunday morning, yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God. He is so dumb. Why? I would have to... Cameron wouldn't do it. I don't think he would do it. But it would be really funny if he did. My God.
Well, I don't know, because Cam, he seemingly has been... Like, he immediately said right off the bat he didn't want to pull a heist on me. You know, he didn't want to overthink things or seem too commanding in his talks with everybody this week. So it kind of seems like Cam is more of the thinking type. So I'm not exactly sure that Cam would go for this.
Hey. Oh, my goodness. There's a doggy loose.
Oh, so that's what the barking is. Of course, that's going to cause all that barking. Hey, I guarantee you it would be the same thing. It would be the same thing if my dog heard a dog running around in the neighborhood.
Yeah. I see dogs running loose all the time in this neighborhood. It breaks my heart. And I am too old to go chase after them to find out if they're tagged or not, you know?
Yeah. Unfortunately, it happens, though. Oh, my God. He hasn't done it just once, but twice.
He said it again?
He's brought it up two different times.
Okay. I'm going to have to put that in updates. As soon as we're done here, we'll put it in updates.
Oh, my God. And by the way, speaking of updates, if anybody listening to this podcast has not heard of the Whispers groups, you can join the Whispers groups on Facebook by searching either Survivor Whispers, Survivor Whispers Premiere, which is our Survivor Spoilers group, or Big Brother Whispers, or if you like sports, you can join Sports Whispers. And there's quite a bit of conversation going on recently in Big Brother Whispers, talking about this season. There's pretty much conversation every single day. So the updates are posted in there by Melissa and, well, me occasionally if I happen to have a comment on certain things, which I'll probably talk about this quite a bit. But, yeah, if you guys haven't done so yet, we are adding new members. Matter of fact, there's been a never-ending stream, it feels like, of member requests into the group
since the
season began.
Every day we're getting new people in, and that's great. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's almost like word is spreading around or something. So.
Uh huh. Yeah.
But yeah. Needless to say, I'm pretty sure that this whole season, we're only 4 weeks in to this season. And we've already counted 22 different alliances. Corey is now talking about a potential hinky vote. I smell some fuckery happening this week.
Oh, my God. You know what? It's just been like a clusterfuck every single week. Hasn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, it has been. It's almost like we go into every single week and it's like, okay, what are we gonna hear next? Or actually, it's almost like we're going by the hour. It's like, okay, next hour, what are we gonna hear?
Yeah.
That's gonna completely throw this week through a loop.
And there are some days, I have to tell you that it just gets to be so much that I have to get up and walk away. And so now I've told myself.
Oh, you've already done that.
Okay.
You've already done that quite a few times this season so far.
I always come back. I always come back, but I'll hear something that totally throws me for a loop and I just have to walk away. And after I've had time to process it, then I'll come back. But I try to do updates every couple of hours. Sometimes there's a lot. Sometimes there's just a few, depending on what's going on. But I try to post updates every couple of hours, which is in the live feed discussion thread, and I usually have them pinned to featured. So, and I do them, I do a new thread daily. They're dated, so you can easily find most recent. But anyway, so we have about 3 minutes to go. Well, that's a couple of minutes. I got to get started on these updates. So we should just go ahead and say, hey, have a good week, everybody. We'll see you back next Friday.
Yep, we will be back next Friday, and God knows what we're going to have to talk about next Friday, depending on what we see from the edit this week. And while I'm at it, a quick note that tomorrow night we do have Sports Whispers Weekly, 9 p.m. Eastern, on blogtalkradio.com/MissyAE. This episode, as well as all of our other Big Brother recaps, can be found at that link at blogtalkradio.com/MissyAE, or you can find us on any of the major podcasting networks like iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and pretty much almost any podcast network that you can think of. So Yeah. We've already done, I think this is actually only our third episode that is actually recorded because of a certain week that Blog Talk decided, nah, fuck it, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to work for anybody. So as far as I can tell, this one went through. So this one should show up on the archives. But yeah, we will be back next week, next Friday night. And I know Survivor is going to be starting soon, and we should have an update on the Survivor podcast, which Jim is probably going to be doing those again. I'll get in touch with him. I'll see what he wants to do. I know he mentioned something about a cast assessment, but I don't know exactly when that will take place. So stay tuned to blogtalkradio.com/MissyAE. for updates on that, or if you're in the Whispers groups, there'll probably be something that'll be posted in the Whispers groups. But anyways, that's it for tonight's show. Everybody have a great weekend. Remember Sports Whispers Weekly tomorrow night, and everybody have a great rest of your weekends, and we will see everybody next Friday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, for another Big Brother 25 recap show.
Yep. Good night.